Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
So today we are concluding a short series we've done called The Warrior. Next week we're starting a brand new series called The Warrior S. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're starting a new series called PH121. What does that mean? You have to be here next week to find out. And I know it's going to be 4th of July weekend. Don't miss the first week of this new series. It's going to be great. But we've been doing this series called The Warrior, and I've been talking pretty directly to guys. Kind of an odd thing maybe, but I hope and think everyone's gotten a lot out of it. But I've been talking directly to guys. So let's kind of review what we've covered the last 2 weeks. We have learned together from the Bible that every man is a warrior, and that God put into every heart of a man a cause to fight for. And he designed us with this heart to fight and advance and to stand up for what is right and good and beautiful and of God and of love. God has given you certain gifts and passions and abilities, and he's planted you at this particular moment in history because it's now that you can have the greatest impact for him and the purpose he's given you. God has created you with the heart of a warrior and a cause to fight for. That cause, we've said, is worth dying for. And until a man finds something worth dying for, then he can't fully live. So every warrior is created by God with a cause. The question is not whether you have a cause to fight for. You do. The question isn't whether you have the heart of a warrior. You do. The real question is, what will you do with your cause? What will you do with your cause? Will you abandon it or will you embrace it? And that's the question I want to ask you today. Will you abandon your cause or will you embrace your cause? Now, men who abandon their cause, one of two things will happen. For some men who abandon their cause, what will happen is they will become passive. Some men who abandon their cause will become passive. Now, the first guy this ever happened to was the first guy ever, Adam. The Bible says that God created Adam and Eve, and as he did with every man, he put into Adam the heart of a warrior. A heart that was designed to listen to God and follow God and to take a stand for what is right and beautiful and of love and of God. And God was extra nice to Adam because God created his wife, Eve, naked. God is good. And God actually gave Adam and Eve a purpose to multiply and fill the earth. God's very good. But what happens? Well, God gives them only one rule to follow. God's not into rules. He didn't give lots of rules. He gave one rule when he had the world the way he wanted it. One rule. They couldn't eat of just one particular tree. But it seems like almost as soon as his back is turned, Eve eats of this one tree that's forbidden. And then she goes to Adam and says, hey, there's nothing wrong with it. You eat it too. And this is Adam's first chance to use this warrior heart, to take a stand for what's right and say, no, I won't eat of it because God said not to. And I'm going to follow God. And you've done wrong, so let's go to God and you need to tell him what you've done and ask him to forgive you. But that is not what Adam does. Instead, Adam does, well, nothing. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we'll put all the verses on the screen for you. It says, Eve gave some to Adam, who was with her, and he ate it. We see in Adam this sin of passivity. And guys, God created you with the heart of a warrior, but the problem is some of us have abandoned our cause, and we've become passive. And maybe you'd say, no, that's not me, but are you sure? Maybe it is. It's kind of like this. You know how like when you walk into a really dark room at first, it's totally dark and you can't see and you're feeling around, you bump into walls and stuff. But when you're in there for a couple minutes, like your eyes adjust and now you can see in the dark, right? Well, I think it's kind of like that. Some of us have walked into a dark room of passivity and we've been in it so long that our eyes and our lives have kind of adjusted. And so we don't even see that it's us. That we're living this passive life. And I wonder if it's you. Maybe if you take a good look, you'd realize it's you. So maybe it's you in your home. You don't try to lead your home, your family, spiritually. That's your role, but you don't do that at all. Your family doesn't look to you for a Christ-like role model. You're not trying to teach your kids God's word. You don't encourage your wife to be all that she can be. You just don't take your role as a spiritual leader in your home. If your family has a spiritual leader at all, it's your wife, because you're not engaged in that way. And the truth is, you have abandoned your cause and you've become passive. Or maybe if you look closely, you'll see that it's you at work. Maybe at work, you're really no different from the other guys. You know, if there's inappropriate joking or there's lustful talk or there's gossip, you don't walk away. You just kind of join in it. You don't take a stand and defend the person who can't be there in that moment to defend themselves. And the reason is you've abandoned your cause and you become passive. Maybe it's you at church. You come, maybe, I know, I realize some of you maybe are here for the first time, but some of you have been coming for a long time, and you hear us challenging everyone to do what God asks us to do, what he commands us and calls us to do, to share our faith with our friends, to volunteer and make a difference with our lives, to share our lives with some other guys in a microgroup, to tithe and give God at least 10% of our income back to him, and you hear it, and it goes in one ear and right out the other. And the truth is, though you have lots of excuses for why you're not doing the things that God commands you to do, the truth is that you've abandoned your cause and you have become passive. And maybe you've lived in that for so long you haven't even seen it. But I'll tell you this, it is an incredibly sad thing when a warrior becomes passive. And my prayer today is that maybe the lights would kind of turn on and you would see the truth about the way that you've been living and realize that you were not designed to be passive, but to be a passionate warrior for God. When a warrior abandons his cause, one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to become passive, but the other thing that might happen is some warriors become abusive. Some warriors abandon their cause, and it leads them to become abusive. And this can take different forms. They may become abusive physically. And guys, let's just be honest and say it takes an incredibly weak man to physically abuse his wife or kids, right? It could be verbal, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual. Some guys twist God's word to manipulate people and manipulate things. The warrior who abandons his cause may become abusive. The first guy this ever happened with was the second guy ever. So Adam and Eve have two kids, Cain and Abel. And Cain and Abel, as every man who's ever lived, are designed with a warrior heart. And because they have this warrior heart, they want to worship God. That's in men. It's in women, too. And so warriors want to worship God. But true worship means giving God your very best. Okay? True worship is not giving God your leftovers. Never. God doesn't accept that. It's giving God your best. What happens is Cain and Abel each offer God an offering. And God explains to Cain that his offering is unacceptable because it's not his best. Cain had abandoned his cause of giving God his best, and he gave God kind of his leftovers. And so then Cain further abandons his cause. Instead of trying to figure out a way that he can please God and live for God, he directs his passion in aggression and competition towards his brother Abel. And when God shows favor on Abel's offering, because Abel gave God his best, Cain becomes abusive. Genesis 4:8 says, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. It's abusive passion. Why do some guys become abusive? I think it's because we look at the lives we're living and we think, man, this is so far from the life I want. I'm not even living a life that's close to what I want. And since I don't have what I want, it must be someone else's fault. It's my wife who doesn't support me, or it's my kids who keep letting me down, or it's my boss who doesn't give me the opportunities I deserve, or it's my parents who didn't raise me to succeed. And so what happens is we take what's missing in our lives and we take it out on these people that we wrongly blame, and we become abusive. So every warrior is created by God with a cause. The question is, what are you doing with your cause? Will you embrace it or will you abandon it? If you abandon it, you'll either become passive or abusive. Now, on the other hand, and this is what God wants from us, this is God's desire for your life, there are some warriors who embrace their cause. And when you embrace your cause, what will happen is you will become consumed with passion. And that's what God wants. God wants men to tap into this warrior spirit he's given them and to embrace his cause and become consumed with passion. The greatest example of this was Jesus. I always hate saying that because it's like, really? Jesus is the good example at church. I never would have thought that. But sorry, it's true. You know, what's interesting is Jesus came, the Bible says, from heaven to earth with a cause. It was a cause that he was willing to die for. Do you know what Jesus' cause was? You. You're why he came. He came for you, and he was willing to die for you. And because he had a cause that he was willing to die for, he fully lived. And Jesus was so focused on God's cause for his life, he did kind of an odd thing. He talked about it all the time. People are not like this. People don't walk around saying, here's why I'm here. Here's why I exist. But Jesus did all the time. And so he said things like, he said, I have come to bring freedom to people. He said, I have come to seek and save the lost. He said, there is an enemy who is real, and he's trying to steal and kill and destroy your life. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. He said, I am the gate that you must walk through. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said, if you are hungry, I am the bread of life. If you are thirsty, I am living water. If you are tired, I will give you rest. He couldn't stop talking about his cause because it consumed him. And it was like, this isn't what I do. This is who I am. He was consumed by it. Consumed by passion. In fact, one time, Jesus went into the temple. And the temple was the place where people were supposed to be able to worship God. They were to come to God. But what had happened is that there were men, greedy men, who took advantage of people. And in doing so, had made the temple into a place of profit for themselves. And Jesus said, no, that will not happen here. Why? Because he had the heart of a warrior. He had a heart in him to fight and engage in battles for what is good and right and noble and of God. And because of his passion, he went into the temple and he just started overturning the tables of these guys who were taking advantage of poor people and throwing people and throwing animals out of the temple. Jesus walks in and he becomes like a one-man wrecking crew. He was a warrior. And then he says this in John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He says this. He says, how dare you turn my father's house into a market? And his disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Why in that moment did they remember that? It's because they saw that passion in Jesus. And notice it says, zeal for your house will consume me. This was not just something Jesus cared about. It was something he was consumed with. The warrior who abandons his cause becomes passive or abusive. But the warrior who embraces his cause becomes consumed with passion. It's like God lights him up. And man, he becomes consumed. And guys, you were created with a cause. You were designed to live for something much bigger than yourself or your paycheck or your success. God created you with a cause to fight for. And until you find that cause, until you have something that's truly worth dying for, you're never going to fully live. You won't. Now, if you want to embrace God's cause, you need to understand it. Right? You need to understand this cause that you're to embrace. And so I want to talk to you guys about the cause that God has for your life. All right? So two parts to this. The first part is that the passionate warrior has someone to protect. Someone to protect. He has a wall to build. He has a wall to build. Now, God created men with a heart to fight, a heart to engage in causes. But the thing is, we don't fight for ourselves, right? We don't fight for ourselves. We fight for what is right. We fight for something bigger than ourselves. And I think we know that, like deep inside, right? There's something in us that says, you know what? I feel like I was called to be a hero. There's something in me that knows that I was called to be a hero, to like lay down my life for people if necessary. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Like there's a verse in the Bible that says husbands are to lay down their lives for their wives. Right? We lay down our lives in the same way Jesus did. We were made to be heroes. Now, for me, this would include like my wife and my children. And for you, maybe you have that. Maybe it includes your wife and your children. It may include your parents. It may include your people at work. It may be some kids that God has given you to coach on a team. It might be that God has put a single lady in your life, and he's given you the incredible honor of being a man who can pour into those kids who don't have a father figure. But God has given you a cause to fight for, and he's given you people to protect. In the Old Testament, there's this guy. His name is Nehemiah. We talked about him a little bit in this series. And Nehemiah is a normal guy. Okay, he's got like a bureaucratic government job. He's not like, you know, some soldier or something like that. But back in Nehemiah's day, every city had a wall built around it. That's how you protected your city. That meant that you weren't vulnerable to attack. But what had happened is that the city that Nehemiah was from, its wall had fallen into disrepair. It was broken. It was in, you know, rumble. And so Nehemiah decides to take it upon himself to lead his people to rebuild the wall. Again, there's no reason he should do it. He was just a normal guy. But what he knew was that he believed in and worshiped God. And so he knew that there was nothing normal about him. Right? He may have seemed like a normal guy. He might have had a normal job. But there was nothing normal about him because he was connected to a supernatural God. And so Nehemiah takes it upon himself to lead his people. And I love when he kind of gives them his inspiring speech of like, guys, we are going to do this. I love what he says because what he doesn't say is this. He doesn't say, guys, let's go do this for ourselves. That's not the warrior heart. Here's what he says. Put it on the screen for you. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. He says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes. He's like, the reason we do this is not for ourselves. Our lives are about something bigger than ourselves. It's about God, and it's about the people that we love. The people God's given us to protect. We are to embrace God's cause and become consumed with passion for it. And part of God's cause is that we have someone to protect. Okay? We have a wall to build. And so a couple of ways warriors are to protect. First, the warrior protects physically. Physically. God in general, I know this isn't universally true, but in general, God created guys a little bigger, a little stronger. Exhibit A. Right? I know the question you guys are always asking about me. Steroids? But no, this is all natural. I don't even lift weights, believe it or not. But guys are usually created a little stronger and a little bigger, and they are created to protect physically. So, like, I've got a baseball bat under my bed, and my wife thinks that's really funny. She's like, are you going to play baseball in our bedroom? But what she doesn't understand is I was on baseball teams for 12 years. I went to baseball camp every summer. I perfected my swing, and it was all in preparation for the moment when somebody breaks into our house, and I, like, hit him down the third baseline for a stand-up triple. And I hope that never happens, but if it did, man, I would gladly do that to protect my wife and kids. I would do that, right? Here's a question for you guys. How many of you would die to protect the people you love? My guess is we'd all say, yeah, of course, right? You know what? That's an easy question to answer. Here's the hard question. How many of you are willing to live to protect them? That's a much more important question because it's far more likely. You know, you're probably not going to be called to die for anyone, probably, right? And if you were, I don't think it's that difficult to have a momentary brush of courage and be willing to sacrifice your life for someone else. That's not that hard. What's difficult and what takes God's help is to, on a daily basis, have not a momentary courage, but to have the moral courage to truly protect the people that you love. Because it's not just about protecting people physically. We need to do that, but a warrior also has to protect the people that God puts in his life spiritually, right? And so let me ask you guys, are you protecting the people that God's put in your life spiritually, or are you leaving them vulnerable to the enemy's attack? Like, are you man enough to say to your kids, no, I don't care if everyone else is doing it. Our family believes in and we worship God, and so we don't do that. Or, yes, we're going to do that. I don't care if no one else does that. We believe in and worship God. We believe in something bigger than ourselves, so our family does that, even if no one else does. Right? Are you pouring God's truth into your kids' lives, or do you expect that that's what happens at church? Because that is not what the Bible says. The Bible would not say it's the church's job to teach your kids the Bible. The Bible would say that it's your job to teach your kids the Bible and to impart God's truth into their lives. Okay? The church comes alongside of you to assist you and help you with that, but that is not the church's job. That is your job. It's your job to protect your family spiritually. So the warrior who embraces his cause, he protects people physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Now, the truth is, we can't completely protect the people we love from outside influences. You know, there are always going to be things that happen that might wound the people we love out there emotionally. But we can protect them from inside wounds. And the truth is that far too often, we're the problem. And what we do is we take our misdirected passion and we point it at people we should love and protect, and instead what we do is we wound them emotionally. Guys, you have it in your hearts to guard the heart of your wife, of your children, of the people in your life, and to let them know that, hey, one of the main causes of my life is to lay down my life for you, not just in a physical way, that would be easy, but to do it day by day by day. And here's the deal. If instead of doing that, what you've actually been doing is not protecting them emotionally, but hurting them emotionally, man, with God's help, you need to change now. Right? Maybe some of you men are committing adultery, like right now it's happening. And the truth is that God is going to expose it. You may think you're getting away with it and you're going to get away with it, but you won't. And you are breaking the covenant that you made with your wife and with God, and you need to stop now, and you need to repent immediately. Some of you are committing adultery in your minds, because Jesus said, if anyone looks lustfully at a woman, he is committing adultery with her in his heart, in his mind. And if that's you, you need to repent, you need to get help, you need to stop now. God put it in you to guard the people you love emotionally, not wound them. Some of you have a mistress, but it's not a woman. It's your job. Or it's a hobby that takes so much of your time, you can't pour the necessary time that you need to into your relationship with God, into your family. And guys, you're called to something greater than that. You have a greater cause than that. You're called to protect the hearts of the ones you love. Guys, we're warriors, and God has placed people in our lives, and he's called us to protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Here's one way the Bible talks about this. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Be strong, and let us fight bravely for our people." It doesn't take much bravery to, for a second, be willing to give up your life and die for somebody. Fighting bravely means day after day, I protect you spiritually and emotionally. And I make sure that you are going to grow and excel spiritually and emotionally. So, some guys abandon their cause, but we're not going to do that. Maybe we have in the past, but we are going to embrace our cause. And here's the cause. Part of God's cause for our life is that we have someone to protect. Okay, God has given us people to protect, a wall to build, right? But here's the other part. We have a kingdom to advance. We have a wall to destroy. We have a wall to destroy. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, Jesus is speaking. He says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Another time Jesus was talking about the church, he was talking about us, and he said this. He said, the very gates of hell shall not prevail against them. You get it? He's saying, you're to attack. It's not just about defense. It's about getting aggressive and going on offense. You're to attack. And when you attack with the power of God, the very walls of hell will not prevail against you. You have a wall to destroy. And a true warrior embraces that cause, and he does whatever it takes to advance God's kingdom of love. You know, the truth is that guys love to attack. They love to advance. They like to move forward. They like to conquer and take risks and to compete, right? We are driven and we want to do more. And the reason is because God put that inside of us. Like God planted that inside of you, but he did that. And the funny thing is, when guys can't do that, like if in our lives we can't conquer something or take risks or battle with fear, then we'll take a ball and we'll crush it with a stick, right? Because it's like you just can't mute that part of who a guy is. And the reason God put that in you is because he is calling forceful men to destroy the walls of hell. That's why that's in you. Now, remember, we said 2 weeks ago, we don't do this in our own power, okay? You are not capable of doing this in your own power. I'm certainly not capable of doing this in our own power. We do this in God's power. And we looked 2 weeks ago at this verse in a book called Ephesians in chapter 6, where it talked about how God has equipped us with weapons to fight with, not the weapons of this world, not the weapons we think of when we think of men, not our hands, not our words, but prayer and love and our knowing our identity is in Christ. And it talked about all these different weapons that we have to fight with. We take a stand against the evil forces of darkness in the world, and the way we overcome them is with purity and with love. And we get that from God. Guys, you have a cause. You have a kingdom to advance. You have a wall to destroy. And the question you have to ask, and I don't know, I feel a little bit silly asking it, but it's just is, are you man enough to do this? Are you man enough to do this? And the truth is, most men are not. Most guys aren't. That's why throughout the Bible, when God calls men to do what's right, the answer is almost always no. No, I can't do that. I'm not man enough. But when people encounter God, he gives them a mission, everyone thinks, I'm not man enough. And it's true. You're not man enough. It takes more than you've got. It takes God. It takes God. And here's the deal. You can't do this halfway. Okay? If you're like, yeah, I'm into it. I'm going to show up at church. I'm good. You know, I might do a little. You can't do this halfway. You can't say, I'm going to kind of be in the army. I might show up. You know what? No, that's not the way it works. And honestly, to do this, you just can't be a pansy. You can't. One of the greatest tricks the devil has played on us is making us think that Christianity is a playground when it's not. It's a battleground. You know, the funniest thing is when people say this, you've probably heard this, people will be like, you know, I think that Christianity is just a crutch for weak people. It's like, are you serious? Do you have any idea what it's about? To become a Christian is you declaring, I am going to go to the front lines and take my stand against the dark forces of evil in this world. Oh yeah, that's a crutch for weak people. Right. Are you serious? Guys, if your idea is, you know what, I'm going to kind of play some spiritual patty cake, honestly, just go home. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you won't have what it takes to do this, and you won't think it's serious enough to ask God to give you what it takes. And so it's better to just go home. Now, if you do decide to do this, and we talked about this in the series, if you decide, I am going to join up with God's kingdom, I am going to advance his kingdom, and I am going to try with my life to destroy the walls of hell, then you're going to be scared. And if you think about doing this, or you think you're doing this, and you're not scared, then you have no idea what you're dealing with. Okay? You have no understanding. You will be intimidated, and you will be scared. You will live in fear, and that's a good thing. And the reason that's a good thing is because it turns you to God, right? Without that fear, you'll just go into it like, I can do this, and you can't. But when you feel that fear because you realize what you're up against and what you sign up for, and you realize this is massive, man, then it turns you to God because you're like, I need help, right? Now, I love this verse. I love it. In a book called 1 Timothy. So it's a guy named Paul, and he's writing to a guy named Timothy. Timothy is a young guy who signed up, who said, I'm in. Like, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. And I know what that means is I'm going to the front line to take my stand against the dark forces of evil in this world. What that means is that I'm going to try to advance his kingdom, and I'm going to try to break down the walls of hell. I understand that. And so here's the advice that Paul gives Timothy. Some of us guys need to hear this. He says this. He says, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. It's not for weak people. Maybe you hear all this, and the question you ask is, man, how do I do this? So half of God's, you know, I'm to protect people, build a wall, and I'm to advance his kingdom and burst down the walls of hell. How do I do this? Like, I'm not like a pastor. You know, I'm not like a missionary or something. You know, like, I work at a casino. You know, I'm a teacher. I work with computers all week. I work construction. I'm a student. So how do I build God's kingdom and knock down the gates of hell? I mean, I'm not like a pastor. Exactly. That's why you can do this, because you're on the front lines of the battle, right? You are on the front lines of the battle because this is a battle for the hearts of people. It's a battle that has eternity hanging in the balance, and you get to be on the front lines being an ambassador for God, getting to represent God and his love to people who need to know him and experience it. And you're to use your job and your place in your neighborhood. That's why God put you in the place you live. You might be like, no, I look for a house, I had a real estate agent, I picked this. No, right? God put you where you live because he wants you to influence those people for him with his love. It's why he's given you the relationships he's given you so that you can love people into his kingdom. That's what it's all about, to show people God's love in such an audacious way that they end up asking you, hey, what's the deal? Like, you are the most different person. You are the most loving person I have ever met. Like, seriously, what's the deal with you? And when you get that question, you get to answer something like, man, I did not used to be that way at all. Thank you for saying that. And I know this may sound weird, but that's not me. God has changed my life. And I don't know where you're at with God. It may sound weird to you. Honestly, it sounds a little weird coming from my mouth. But God has changed my life. And here's what I know. If he can change someone like me, then he can change you. And maybe if you're interested in that, you should come and check out my church. It's a real easy place to go. It's a fun place. And I think if you went, you'd meet the same God that I know and who has changed my life there. Guys, there's something inside of you that your whole life has been saying, there's got to be more to life than this. Why is it that when I was a little kid, I wanted to play war games, and as an adult, I want to play war video games? Why? Because you were made with the heart of a warrior. You were made to be a warrior. And guys, you have a cause to embrace. It's a wall to advance, right? You have people to protect. And guys, you have a wall to destroy, right? God gave you a wall to destroy, a kingdom to advance. And the question is, are you man enough? Are you man enough? Right now, you might be thinking, if you're honest, you probably should be thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I'm man enough. But I want to tell you this. I believe in you. And much more importantly, God believes in you. And God is calling you to this. And I want to pray for you right now. So let's pray. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving every single one of us. No matter what we've done, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, you still love us. God, thank you for giving us a cause with our life. Thank you that our lives are not small and selfish, that there is something bigger for us to live for. God, I've just become convinced that until we find that something bigger to live for, we're not fully living at all. God, my prayer is not just the men, that the women as well, that we would all embrace our cause. God, that we would stop living for smaller things, but we would embrace this call that we have people to protect. We have loved ones that we're to protect physically and emotionally and spiritually. And God, that we have a cause to advance. God, your kingdom of love needs to touch every person because, man, there's eternity hanging in the balance, and people need to experience your love. God, my prayer is that today we have a room full of people, and I'm praying especially a room full of guys who say, I'm sick and tired of being passive. I'm sick and tired of being abusive. And what I want is I want to be consumed with passion for something bigger than myself, something eternal, something that's right, something that's of love. God, would you help us to make that decision and to turn to you today? I pray in Jesus' name, amen.